Having discovered that so far as the door and windows of his prison were concerned, he was securely shut in, he came back to the table and dropped into the chair there. Silence filled the little chamber. The transparent candle burned slowly in its uncouth setting, and for a minute Frank watched the flame in deep thought. "I'll try every place," cried he. "This house shall not hold me if there's the slightest chance for liberty. I must get out to thwart these scoundrels. Washington must not fall into their lure." He went through the room on a tour of inspection. There was not an article of furniture he did not examine with the greatest care. He even broke the lock on the old-fashioned wardrobe door in one corner of the room and gave the place a thorough overhauling. You know, houses in the old days didn't have closets usually. They had wardrobes, just big pieces of furniture, which are like a big standing-up chest, and you open the doors and you hang your clothes in there and stuff, and there might be drawers in there, too. But yeah, most of the old houses 100, 200 years ago didn't have closets. They had those wardrobes standing there instead. Poor Frank. He was forced to conclude that his enemies had imprisoned him well. Fortunately, they had not deprived him of the weapons he had brought to the place. He still had his sword and pistol, and with these he could resist and even make a fight for freedom should Master Cowley or any of his associates show up. And a desperate fight he would make of it, one that would deserve success, even if not obtained. The minutes lengthened into hours, and the faint cry of a sentry somewhere in the neighborhood that all was well brought to the young patriot's lips a grim smile, for all was not well with him. He wondered what Priscilla was doing, and then he thought of Benjamin Pierce, who, if he knew his situation, would be the first to attempt a rescue with the Boys of Liberty. At last Frank fell asleep in the chair. He became oblivious to everything passing around him, and he slept until he suddenly found himself wide awake. He was sitting bolt upright in the chair, and the candle had nearly burned itself out. A low hum of voices reached his ears, as if it came from the outside, and in a moment he was at one of the barred windows. There were people on the sidewalk, soldiers, he could tell by their talk. Frank chafed at his confinement. Friends were within reach if he could only acquaint them with his condition.
"Captain Pierce," said a loud voice, "you will keep your company here till relieved. It will not be long, sir." "The Boys of Liberty are always at your service, General. We have never found them wanting in anything. You will probably be ordered back to Long Island tomorrow."
A great hope leaped up in the young captive's heart. Benjamin, Captain Benjamin Pierce, and the Boys of Liberty had halted in front of the old house and were waiting for orders. It was decidedly a case of so near and yet so far. The voice of the higher officer sounded like General Putnam's, and Frank knew that if old Putt knew his situation, the door of the house would not stand for a minute against the muskets of the Boys of Liberty. The situation maddened him. He heard the voices of the boys on the sidewalk, heard their jests and laughter as they waited further orders, and in despair he drew back and inwardly cursed his foes. If he could only signal them, if he could convey to them information of his dangerous predicament, he would elude the enemy. But could he do that? The heavy inside shutters of iron that barred the windows offered no hope. He tried to pry them open with the point of his sword, but afraid of breaking the faithful weapon, he drew off with a groan. Why not try noise? The thought came to him like a friend springing suddenly into his presence. "Washington must be saved," he cried aloud. "The accursed cabal must not succeed, and it depends on me." He struck the iron shutters with the hilt of his sword. Again and again he followed up the first blow, and after each one would listen to see if he had attracted the attention of Captain Benjamin and the boys. "More noise," cried Frank. He looked around the room for a piece of heavy furniture and selected the table. Overturning it by main force, he twisted off one of the heavy oaken legs and with it advanced to the window. For half a minute he rained blow after blow upon the shutter, striking with all his might. "Who's that pounding in the house behind us?" he heard one of the young soldiers exclaim. "By my life, they must have some madman cooped up in there." "Did you ever hear such blows, Master Fuller? Why, he'll beat the old shanty down upon our heads if he keeps on. I say, Captain Pierce, may we not investigate?" Frank heard no more, for he was attacking the shutter once more while his hopes went up a few degrees. "I'll make them hear me and take action," he cried. "I'll make Captain Benjamin investigate. That I will, for the life of Washington depends upon my liberty." "Ah, here comes the aide with our orders," cried one of the unseen soldiers. "We shall move away now, and the madman in the house can make all the noise he wants." Lowry's heart sank to immeasurable depths in his bosom. They were going to move, going to leave him to his fate, when a little investigation would take him out of the Tory toils. "Now or never," shouted Frank in his desperation, and he struck the shutter a number of blows till the table leg broke in his hands. "My goodness, am I to be deserted when help is so near?" he exclaimed. "I'm at the fringe of freedom, and now—" He paused and put his ear to the edge of the shutter. "You'll move down to Nip's Landing. he heard someone say, and then caught part of Captain Benjamin's response. "You'll find the boats there to take you to Long Island." "Today, sir?"
"Yes, sir, such is the order."
"We thought, sir, that we should be needed in the city for several days."
"The exigencies of the case require your presence on Long Island, Captain Pierce."
Frank knew how irritated Captain Pierce must be, for he would miss Mistress Carter's party. He heard the aide ride away and caught the grumblings that followed.
"They don't want to go back to the island, and I don't blame them," he said to himself. "Captain Benjamin."
"Line up there," interrupted the voice of Captain Pierce. They were getting ready to move. In another moment, they would be on the march, and help would vanish, perhaps forever. Young Lowry sprang at the window again with a second battering ram wrench from the table. He summoned every particle of strength at his command and struck viciously and with all his might.
"There goes the crazy man again," said one of the members of the company. Frank threw down the table leg.
"I'm not crazy," he shouted at the top of his mouth with his voice at the crack of the iron shutter. "I'm Frank Lowry and the prisoner of a Tory band. I'm shut up in here, barred in like a prisoner of some devil earl or count. Help! I'm Frank Lowry of the Patriot Army."
He wondered if they had heard in the silence that followed his appeal.
What was that he said, Master Fuller?" he heard someone say.
"He said he wasn't crazy, did he?"
"That's what I understand."
"All crazy people tell you that. It's a hobby of theirs. But what was the rest he said? I didn't catch all his jabber."
Frank groaned. "I'm Frank Lowry," he cried. "Call Captain Pierce closer. He knows me."
"Well, he knows the captain's name," said the same voice on the outside. "It's funny that a crazy man..."
"But I'm not crazy, though on the verge of insanity," responded the prisoner. "I'm a son of liberty for Washington and the cause."
"Alert! Hurt!"
The command went to the depths of Frank Lowry's soul like the stroke of doom. He had failed. He heard the boys of Liberty falling back into line, their heavy footwear making much noise on the brick sidewalk. After all, he was to be deserted and left to his fate. The thought threw him into a fever of rage. For a moment, he gave up heart, but the next second he was at the window again.
"Don't desert me! You'll lose Washington if you do," he shouted. "There's a plot against his life, and I can buck the conspirators. I've fallen into their hands. Captain Pierce! Benjamin, you know me. I'm Frank Lowry, for heaven's sake."